Hello, I'm Jeremy Rivera, your unscripted podcast host. I'm here with Zach Kadish. Why don't you give yourself an introduction, a little bit of your history, and then we'll see what you've been working on recently.
Yeah, absolutely. Thanks for having me. My name is Zach Kadish. I'm a senior director of SEO strategy here at Conductor. Conductor is an enterprise SEO platform really focused on both content and technical performance. I'm located in New York City. I've been working at Conductor for a little over 8 years now, and I'm really excited to talk a little bit more around, you know, the evolution of SEO and the SERPs, and talk a little bit more around how to make sure that we're monitoring these results in the right place.
Wow, 8 years at an enterprise level tool. That's a lot of development and a lot of changes. And yes. SEO, as we know it, has changed since then. That was about the time when I was last working with TapClicks and Raven Tools. So from when you had started with them, how did you start with Conductor? Were you doing freelance SEO before, or did you start at the bottom of the ranks with Conductor and work your way up? What does that look like?
Yeah, no, I took the more traditional route. You know, I worked from the bottom. So I started here really doing keyword research, or, you know, audience research, really making sure that our clients were tracking the right phrases that they care about. You know, a big part of the platform is monitoring your visibility. So I would honestly just, you know, be doing a lot of tedious keyword research. And then I started to realize, I'm like, okay, wait, like, this is like the foundation of setting up your site for success, making sure that you're visible. I was like, I started to kind of want to figure out, like, well, how do you get these keywords to rank better? And I, you know, we had a lot of great mentors, a lot of smart SEOs here at Conductor. I honestly just picked their brains, sat in on their calls. Sooner or later, they would let me do some of their like busy work, which at the time I thought was really cool. It was like basically just page optimizations. But I was like, whoa, this is pretty cool. And just worked my way up. So, you know, I went from then SEO analyst to strategist to manager to director. And, you know, I kind of just got to see the, you know, changes in Google and the changes in our product as well. So it's definitely been a pretty cool journey.
So is Conductor more of like a SaaS platform, or you said you had clients? Is it an agency model, a straight SaaS model? Like,
great
how
question.
Does that fall out?
Yeah, so we're a SaaS platform. We are a SaaS company. We have a software where you're monitoring your visibility. And, you know, you can do keyword research, you can do competitive research, you can see your performance. We integrate with Adobe and Google Analytics and Search Console. So, you know, it's kind of that one-stop shop. We also have a technical arm. We acquired Content King. Now they're called Conductor Website Monitoring. So, you know, we have the standalone product and they're integrated within the platform. So then you can really better understand how your visibility is from technical and content. What we also do is that, and that's really where I'm coming in, is sometimes, you know, just having an SEO platform isn't enough. Mm-hmm. Sometimes teams need an extra hand. Sometimes they want to talk shop or strategy. A lot of times they just want to vent because they're the only SEO there. And they're like, how do I explain this to the team? And that's where our team comes in. And we really help continue that, you know, we're an extension of your team in a sense. We continue that strategy, continue the momentum. Sometimes we're doing, you know, some of that technical or, you know, content work. We're doing page optimizations or technical audits. A lot of times we're just talking strategy. And my favorite part of the job is talking SEO like I'm doing now, and, you know, going to conferences or webinars or podcasts and just kind of, you know, talking more about what's happening.
Wow, that's an interesting hybrid role. And I think it's an interesting flip-flop that I see back and forth between in the SEO space. Like, you're either an agency and you turn into a SaaS, or a SaaS and you turn into an agency, or you kind of find this middle space where you're a SaaS, but you really find that there is that hands-on need of, like, there's always going to be a squishy human space where, yep, you need to, you know, have more contact than just, oh, here's a dashboard, have fun. You know, there's, yep, always the product manager side of things. Because at Raven Tools, you know, I came in as an SEO and learned my way up into product management, and then came back when they got bought out by TapClicks and did even more product management. But there's only so far you can go within any UX or any UI to really solve some of these problems and these challenges, because they're multimodal, they're complicated because of the client relationship, yep. and you're working with probably both direct businesses and brands as well as agencies who then have businesses and brands, right?
Exactly. Yeah. So that is why I do actually find it very enjoyable, because I'm getting to work with a lot of different industries, you know, B2B, B2C, everything under the sun I get to kind of deal with. So I get to kind of stay in the loop around what's happening across these different industries from an organic perspective. Mm-hmm. And don't get me wrong, there's a lot of teams that we work with where they're not necessarily working with the, you know, the strategy side of it. Like maybe they have, you know, a very mature in-house program and they don't necessarily need us. Sometimes I'm working with clients that are very, you know, green in the space, and we're trying to just educate and evangelize their program. Other times I'm just working with teams that want to do more, and they might be, you know, they just want more help, more advice. They wear many hats internally, and they just want to, you know, kind of talk to someone who does this on a day-to-day basis. But it is definitely a very interesting space where we kind of have a mix of the product side and a mix of more of the, you know, the strategy. Let's get stuff done.
I have two different questions. Let's go down this one first. So I used to use Content King.
Nice.
And so for those that aren't familiar with that platform, it basically keep track of your site, look at your pages, and flag when different pages were no longer online or significant changes had happened to them. What was the reasoning for acquiring that? And what's some of the most valuable lessons you've learned from having that tool added to your stack?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, the main reason was because we wanted to have a technology. Well, we partnered with other technologies that were crawlers, but we wanted to have that in-house too and offer that to our clients. Obviously, that's one of the biggest parts of SEO. Like, you need a solid technical foundation. And, you know, now it's really great as a conductor to really, and a client, to be able to do those types of audits for our clients right in the beginning. And even more impressive is now we're actually integrating it directly into the product. You know, we still have it as a standalone product if people want just to, you know, maybe they just want to use the technical aspect of it. That's totally fine. But now we have within the platform, you're actually able to see your performance from a content, you know, traffic and keyword rankings right next to your technical side, because that way you can actually start to figure out, like, why is this page not doing well? Is it from the technical standpoint, or is it from the content standpoint? Or maybe it's a mix of both. In terms of lessons, you know, it's definitely hard to integrate a full product into your own. You know, that's one of the biggest things as well. It's hard to do that. It's also sometimes hard for people who are maybe they don't want to necessarily, they don't want to just leave their standalone product by itself. That's why we kept it as a standalone product, because you don't, maybe some people don't necessarily want both. You know, they just want to keep what they had previously. So that was definitely, you know, some lessons that we learned across the way. But as we're really geared towards enterprises, we really realize that they want a one-stop shop. They want a whole suite of that. And, you know, it's taking some time to get this right, but now seeing the finished product, it's really exciting to have it all in one place.
One of the challenges I've always seen with enterprise is red tape. So what's been your experience in cutting some of that red tape, or just baking it into the expectations of SEO when it comes to that type of situation?
Yeah, no, it's definitely crazy. Some companies are better than others, but, you know, I've worked with clients like that are in, like, let's say, you know, they're one of the big four accounting firms, or, you know, they're in the insurance space. Sometimes they have a lot of red tape, and the sprints take a really long time, or even changing a title tag could take multiple weeks, which you'd be surprised around. Something that I've learned, though, is having people on internally working with the different departments and bringing them to our calls. Like, let's say I'm only working with one SEO or a few SEOs, bringing the other players to the call and trying to explain to them, to really break down these silos, why this is important for the website, why this matters. Sometimes we realize that, hey, we could actually get a lot more done than we realized, or we don't have to go through all these, all this red tape, all this, you know, all these complex things. Other times it just takes a little bit more time to, maybe in the first few months working with them, we have all this red tape, but sooner or later, we're actually able to get a little bit more done than we realize. And, you know, there's always going to be things that we can't get approved right away. What we try to explain to them is obviously, like, You know, the time to impact or the time to implementation really matters within SEO. So trying to get away with as much as possible where the legal teams don't need to get involved. It's really just breaking down those silos early on and evangelizing that. So during all like the initial kickoffs I have with my clients is figuring out how long does it take to do this? Because if we're going to make the recommendations, we need to make the changes. And that's usually one of my first questions I ask.
That makes sense. Now, you'd said that you'd worked in a bunch of different verticals. What's a unique one that has a different SEO challenge or a unique SEO lesson to it that surprised you?
Yeah, like there's a lot of clients that I work with where they, and it's not necessarily like, it's sometimes across verticals, but they own like multiple domains, let's say, but the domains all do the same thing. So, or like they are an international company and they have a lot of content in, you know, different parts. They have subfolder structures by different languages, but all the content, let's say, in English. And the biggest challenge there is like sometimes we're in the US and we have content from their global site or their UK site or their Indian site showing up in the United States. Or we have, since they own multiple domains and all the domains do the same thing, we have constant volatility or constant flip-flopping. So we have a lot of international, I guess, cannibalization, let's call it, and then cross-domain cannibalization. And it's always funny because there's always one, you know, domain that they care the most about and the other ones they don't care as much about. But that's not the same with Google. Like Google doesn't know that. Like, so it's always hard to explain to them like, well, we can't have the same content on every single page, every single domain. Like Google's smart enough now to know. It's obviously if it's on your own site, they know it's your content. But even if you own all this content across different domains, they know that now. So it's sometimes hard to explain to them like, hey, we can't do the same things that we might have done in the past. All five of your domains aren't going to show up on page one for the same keyword anymore. Like that's just not what's going to happen. Google needs to diversify the SERPs for their users and we need to do the same thing with our content. So it's always a fun lesson to kind of talk to executives and be like, I know you care about the most about this, but this is why it's not showing up.
There's been a lot of changes when it comes to how Google is displaying content in the SERPs. New SERP features, you know, certainly people impacted by particular algorithms. At your level, which change in the SERPs itself has had the most impact on your client's strategy?
Yeah, there's definitely been a few. I mean, if this was a couple years ago, I would probably say like the hopeful content update in the like 2 years ago would have been the biggest change because a lot of clients just got really, really wrecked by that in terms of just they had a lot of thin content on their site or I guess content that Google felt really wasn't helpful, wasn't quality, wasn't really giving their users a good answer. So that would have been the biggest one. But honestly, now I would probably say, well, I guess two, the result type changes. One being discussion and forums that are now showing up, all the user-generated content that's appearing for pretty high-level questions or high-level keywords, and AI overviews. The combination of both of those have really drastically diminished the amount of traffic that we're seeing for our clients. And that's not even talking about what's happening in the e-com space, just with the shoppable experience they're now giving users for pretty high-level queries. So I think just the changes that Google's making on their SERPs with all these different result types, I would say now is the biggest thing that's really, really causing a decrease in traffic and clicks for my clients and the biggest thing that they care about.
That makes sense. Each of those aspects can really put in the crunch. Let's talk about like those forums and discussions. Is that, you know, those are UGC, those are, it's like Reddit, and maybe one thing that isn't Reddit that's showing up. Does that mean, you know, that part of the discussion becomes, hey, how do we cross-channel and discover more of these places to have this conversation versus expecting the default process of SEO to be, I make article, it rank. Instead, it's more, okay, where are people having this conversation and how do we engage with it? And is there a piece of the puzzle or pie that we can use as a lure or string to pull them off of that conversation? Maybe using it even to more qualify Or can we view this as, you know, a branding exercise? Because, you know, let's face it, people on TikTok, that is not a link situation. That's not even like a click situation.
Yeah.
Like if you have pink pants that you're selling and some influencer wears those pink pants, you know, maybe they catch the brand name, but it's more about optimizing SEO towards, okay, influencers talking about pink pants. Do we have pink pants in stock? Did we optimize our pink pants page to catch that traffic on that UGC domain?
Yeah, no, I think to everything you're saying, I think is definitely a big part of the strategy now. It's not necessarily SEO in that sense, but it is owning, you know, owning your voice and owning your brand across different channels and figuring out what consumers like. Like take for TikTok, for example, if you're promoting your products there or working with influencers, or you see that people are talking about something that your industry does, obviously, you know, people can't necessarily go directly to your site from TikTok, but maybe they recognize your brand and then it's additive. So they're going to Google afterwards because they saw your brand, they heard about you from another channel. Same thing with Reddit, same thing with these other forums. People are having real conversations there. So it's important whether it's your own brand talking about it, like, you know, directly there and saying like, hey, this is what we do. That could be another way to just diversify the ways people are finding. I know there are a lot of clients that actually are getting referral traffic from Quora, from Reddit, from these other forums too.
Yeah.
What I've really been trying to recommend to my clients is tracking Reddit or these other forums as competitors within the Conductor platform, because then you can start to see how visible they are for the keywords you care about and mm-hmm. what posts, what subreddits, what individual posts are showing up for those keywords, and then doing research off of that. One of it could just be like going to the Reddit, going to the subreddit, going to the post, and what are people talking about? You know, what do they care about right now? What are they, you know, what questions are they asking and what answers are people giving? Also, mm-hmm. it could be seeing, because these all have individual URLs. So for the most part, they usually do rank for keywords. A lot of times they are. And it's using those keywords then on our site. And it's owning the conversation on our site too. Obviously, you know, we have to create content in that sense. But again, it's if people care about this stuff, why don't we write about it? Why don't we talk about it from our perspective? And that way we could potentially get sourced. We could potentially maybe get sourced by a user. Or we could just show up and compete with them too, because that's why Reddit is showing up. They have so much content, so many answers, so many questions that people are talking about. Some people argue, is it authoritative? Maybe not necessarily all the time, but if that person has firsthand experience, I would argue it is.
It's experiential. Yeah. I mean, I was just talking to Jared Mortensen of Real Men Apparel, and they sell like men's underwear, which is kind of taboo-ish. But he was saying that they were getting the most product development, a lot of feedback on what they do on their content because they were doing TikTok lives and like just doing these silly sketches and like showing off the apparel on mannequins. If you saw the underwear, you'd understand there's kind of a pouch situation going on.
But he
was saying that he was getting a lot of like the questions that they were getting and the interactions of people on that social media directly were driving product development, directly driving,
awesome.
You know, their fabric choices, color choices. And that if you were doing marketing that wasn't sparking a conversation, then you're doing it wrong.
Totally. Totally agree with that. Like, that's what it comes down to is like, you need to make sure that even if you're creating content, it should be sparking some type of conversation. It should be helpful, unique, reliable, giving a user an answer to something. So there are obviously definitely ways to do that, even on your own site. Like, I love how they're changing their product or developing it based off of what users say. There's ways to do that too. Like, if even on your own site, like integrating, you know, reviews or customer testimonials or, you know, talking to customers, like, what did you like? What did you not like? Because hearing it directly from them is the best way to figure out what works and what doesn't.
That makes sense. So talk to me about how changes have happened in the competitive analysis space. Because, you know, it's no longer, I don't think that we can just compare apple to apple of like, hey, this has a site and it gets this much traffic, and this is my site and this gets this much traffic. So how do you deepen that? How do you enrich that competitor comparison? Because you mentioned considering, okay, well, you know, if we're competing with UGC, it Reddit? Is it a competitor? Is it a frenemy? Is there a space like within that of like frenemy or, you know, potentially peer cross-marketing potential too? Because just because they rank for it as well, you know, it could be a race. But maybe that's co-branding. Maybe that's jumping on a webinar or seeking a way to, you know, do a biz dev relationship and swap newsletters.
Yeah, absolutely. Because, you know, like half of the competitive analysis when I'm doing like, let's say a SERP analysis for a keyword for a client, it's figuring out what is showing up, what else is out there, what domains are ranking, what type of results are showing up. If it's like, you know, one of your direct competitors, it makes it a little bit easier to figure out what we need to do. You know, like how can we improve our content? What are they doing differently than us? You know, what keywords are they ranking for? But totally agree with your point. Like if there's people that maybe we don't necessarily consider competitors, like let's say they're content aggregators, it's UGC forums, it's other things like that. That's an opportunity outside of SEO. It's like, how can we get our PR team or, you know, other teams that we're working with, our marketing team, how can we get them involved and get our links or our brand on this site? Because people are searching in a lot of different ways. Maybe they don't want to go directly to the brand if they're in the informational or comparative stage of their journey. Maybe they want to go to these other places. And if we're not on those places as well, they're definitely not going to hear about us. So it's definitely a mix of trying to see. Obviously, you know, we're competing with these people and we need to improve our content, but how can we also get our brand, our recognition on these other places that we might not always be thinking of?
What about like, can you use Content King or monitor your competitor's site to see if they're like they're failing somewhere on their site? I know Jared Cohen of Vooz, like their market opportunity came for their anonymous chatting app because Omegle fell and like, you know, got destroyed, like it went out of business. So is there any sort of like looking at content monitoring tools like Content King's Conductor. What did you call it? What is Content King now?
We call it Conductor Website Monitoring now.
Conductor Website Monitor. Can you website monitor somebody else's website, or do you have to have it internally deployed?
Yeah, unfortunately, no, because you would need to, you know, approve of the IP address. And so, like, technically, you know, you shouldn't be crawling other people's websites using that platform. But we have other ways to kind of be doing that on Conductor itself. It would be more the straight up way of tracking keywords that you care about, tracking these domains as comparison properties, and then figuring out the keywords that they consistently rank for. So it would be more so understanding how much content they're creating in different subfolders, how much content they're creating around a topic. And then it's, you know, kind of getting into the weeds and looking at their pages to see what they're doing differently.
Is there any role, and I know Mark Williams Cook, he gave a process where he was coupling the Also Asked API, Screaming Frog, and ChatGPT to do comparative analysis, to do a content gap analysis. Is there any ways that Conductor or your clients are adapting the new technologies that are at our fingers to use LLM models to kind of compare, you know, these books of content with each other to identify gaps in a way that would have been like 10 years ago, extremely labor intensive for somebody to like pull the list of all those blogs and, you know, is this the same?
Yeah, exactly. So that's actually what we're doing with a lot of our features is we're integrating AI directly into the platform to help with a lot of these tasks that might have been a little bit more manual. So, you know, we have a feature that's called Content Guidance that can really help you analyze around a specific set of keywords, whether it's new content or existing content. How do we create this content based off of what the top rankers are doing right now? How do we improve our page to make sure that it's ranking better based off of what the top rankers are doing right now? We also have a feature called Writing Assistant that can also help, you know, give you some ideas and structure your content in a relevant way based off of your target keyword. So it will actually read the content and show you areas to maybe improve it, answer the questions a little bit better, maybe be a little bit more concise. So there's a lot of different ways that we're actually starting to integrate AI directly into the platform to actually help with these analyses. And there's a lot more to come, which I'm excited about.
It's fascinating. I mean, it's challenging, and I always get into a dark philosophical discussion ultimately when I bring this up with guests of where we're headed in terms of capability. But I do think within certain contexts, there's kind of a hope of being able to do more with teams, doing, you know, enabling people with certain additional capabilities or being able to do more with that AI powered, that LLM powered tech stack. How are you addressing like the inherent limitations of, you know, hallucination, fact checking? Is it a multiple agent approach that you're applying on the back end, or just found processes that, for the most part, don't include stuff where they're having to guess that might come up with off-topic answers or incorrect assumptions?
Yeah, like our engineering team, you know, we invest a lot in our engineering team. So they've done a lot of that heavy lifting to, you know, make sure that it's trained in the right way, all the prompt engineering they've done on the back end. And obviously, you know, since we're integrating it with your account, it starts to learn your we have the ability to change the tone of voice, the objectives, the audience. It's also really based off of the keywords you're typing in. Obviously, you know, in the end of the day, we don't recommend to create the content fully with AI. It's more of a way to just give you a little bit more creativity, save you some time, and then also, like, then you add your own tone and voice. But it saves you so much time where it might have taken, you know, a full day to write this, you know, brief. Now it takes, you know, let's say an hour to do it, because we're giving you a lot of the information that you have to manually collect right away.
Do you think that ultimately it's kind of like we're in a nuclear arms race? You know, like, this is an emerging technology, and, you know, as you know, it's like trying to field an army that still uses cavalry. Just isn't going to work anymore, you know, halfway through World War One. Where yeah. Reality is we as SEOs, working with other teams, we're going to have to compete with other entities that are using this technology to scale in unprecedented ways, and also deal with, you know, HCU as a backlash of like a whole dross of really poor medium quality programmatic SEO went out, and that's why Google course corrected, and we got slapped in the face for it. But do you see that it's kind of inevitable?
I do. I mean, like, that's why I think it's like, you know, AI is not necessarily going to replace the SEO industry or the content marketing industry or, you know, technical SEOs, but the people that are using AI will replace others that aren't using it at all, because we're going to be a lot more efficient. We're going to be able to not focus on such mundane tasks or tedious tasks and focus more on the strategic things that really matter. But, you know, that's why it's like I see a bunch of people, like, you know, whether it's Parasite SEO or whether it's just people out there that are creating, like, you know, thousands or hundreds of articles with AI, and then, you know, maybe they rank and they get some traffic, you know, in the first month or so, but then later on they get hit, and that might be fine if that's what they're trying to achieve, but it's not a long-term thing. It's not scalable, and it's not something that will actually benefit you in the long term, because Google's smart enough to know what you're doing, and users are likely to.
So, hitting into the home stretch, is there a particular person or figure in the SEO industry that's taught you a lot that you recommend people go look up their speeches or dig into the resources that they've created?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, there's obviously a ton of people out there, but, you know, I'd be remiss not to say that, you know, Pat Reinhart, he's the VP of Professional Services and Thought Leadership here at Conductor. He's really the reason I got into SEO. He was the first person I asked, how do I learn this? How do I do this? And, you know, it's been great to work with him, because he hosts a monthly webinar here at Conductor. It's called 30 for 30. It's basically the last 30 days of search in 30 minutes. And, you know, he's definitely been the one that I've kind of been emulating in terms of thought leadership, in terms of how to get into the space. He speaks at conferences, you know, he does his own webinar, he does webinars with others, writes articles. Definitely, I think, very underrated and underlooked in the industry. So I would definitely recommend everyone to check out.
Fantastic. Is there anything cool going on at Conductor? You guys doing any, aside, you just said the 30 and 30, going to any conferences, putting out any webinars, doing any podcast series that we should keep our eyes out for?
Yeah, I mean, other than Pat's, you know, 30 for 30, that's a monthly one. We always constantly doing different types of webinars. Sometimes we do paid webinars with, you know, Search Engine Journal and Content Marketing Institute. You know, are constantly creating different types of articles within our academy around industry updates and what's happening in the industry. I would also, you know, check out if you, you know, follow me on LinkedIn. Each month I'm analyzing the AI overviews and what's happening within our customers and what we're really noticing in terms of the increases or decreases that we're seeing across our customer base, specifically around AI overviews. So I would definitely recommend to check that out.
Awesome. Well, thanks so much for your time.
Appreciate it, Jeremy. It was a great time talking to you.